Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many blessings that we have in our life, Lord. We feel your love as we experience life on this earth that you created, Lord. Every one of us has felt the pain and conflict which the evil one wants to give us. So please help us to live our faithfulness to you, Lord, and give you thanks and praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. O Lord Jesus, in the midst of the distractions that are all around us, they're here and there, and there are amazing things all around us. Yes, there's troubles, and yes, there is blessings, and some of them are very close at hand. Lord, we ask for your help to live a holy life, and we ask that the innocent in the world are protected from evil. And we know very well that sometime we are the innocent ones, and we ask for protection, and sometime our family and friends are the innocent ones, and we ask for their protection. And sometime, Lord, we find that there are innocent young people and babies. Lord, we ask that you watch over those children and protect them in Jesus' name and amen. This time of year, so many of us are thankful, and we have the kind of thoughts that we show love and compassion to other people. And often enough, we considered bringing gifts to other people also. And Lord, let us pray for the many kinds of people that there are who really, really need prayer. Let us remember prayer in our life for the other people. Now, everyone needs prayer. Everyone, whether they're the people you respect and look up to, or the people who are really having problems, the people even in our family. We all need prayer. So let us remember one another as we communicate with our Lord God with prayer. Luke 18, verse 1, talks about prayer and that we are not to be faint. And in that context, I think of it meaning that we are to persistently pray to God. Pray, Lord, we do pray. And it reminds me of what J. Vernon McGee said once upon a time. He said we ought to pray with expectation. For instance, a farmer might pray for rain, and then he stands ready with a hoe in his hand, ready to work the field after the rain. It's that kind of expectation. Not that we expect God to do what we want him to do, but we expect God to do what God will do. And then it's a matter of prayer because we want it, we request it. So in a similar way, we might pray for the people around us that are either hurting or innocent, or we want them to be protected from the troubles and difficulties around them. Now, it's a part of what we do as a Christian people to have that compassion for other people. We might be in prayer for other people, or it might be as a church that we pray, or it might be an organization such as a church that helps people in need. Sometimes churches make a way to help people who are in need. Often enough, a church will have a benevolence fund, and the pastor or a committee or a person who represents the church will have guidelines on what they can do to help other people. And that is a part of what we do also. So let us remember to give with our time and our money, because there's so many people in need. Lord, we pray for people. People we know and love, and people we don't know and we don't have much love for. Maybe they're even a problem for us, but we still want to pray for other people to follow Jesus Christ. Well, there are things that we can do to help other people with our time and our money and, of course, our prayer. It is something that is unfortunate that there is so much need in the world, even that there is hurting and pain in the world. So we get to figure out how are we going to help the people in need. Now, we have taxes that our government collects and then decides to give to people. I kind of wonder if that is even a good thing, because the government to decide matters of helping people or a matter of a moral situation, it's a little bit out of the normal things that a government ought to be doing. That's what I think. But still, so many people feel like they are already helping people because their government helps people. And I think that we ought to remember that it is us personally that help people. It can be through our donations to the church or even another organization. And there's not a consistent theme when the government helps people, because the people in government often do not have that moral consistency that a body of Christ would have. So it's a matter of what do we do about helping people when our money is limited? And of course, that's the beauty of a church. When we give to a church, they can only afford to do so much. And so they have to define and refine what it is that they are going to help other people with. Lately, our U.S. government has been so rich that they have given so much of our money away in uncontrolled spending. And even the legislative part of government has allowed the executive to control money from Congress and spend it as the executive wishes. That's not quite constitutional, is it? No, it's not. So we get to look and see, are we going to support that Congress is doing this? Or are we going to raise our voices and say, what you're doing is not right, government? I know that the government in the executive branch have given away billions of dollars in cash and billions of dollars in materials. Some of them are to benefit civilians, and some of them are to benefit the military. And it's something that we Americans only have so many resources. And for our government to give away our resources is not right for the American people. If we are taking from some people to give to other people, that is not the job of government unless it is to benefit the United States citizens. So we have parts of our government that is having greater needs because those people in power and authority have given away the assets of America to other countries and peoples. We America has given the Ukrainian system, or government, or people, so many things that we have to replace, or we will not have them for our own needs. One, for instance, of that is the transformers, electrical transformers that were destroyed in the war in Ukraine. So the United States has had hundreds of transformers sent to Ukraine. Those transformers were to be in case the United States ever needed them. And now there are estimates that for the United States to replace the transformers that were given to Ukraine would take at least 10 years to rebuild and to have a reserve of the transformers that we formerly had. That's one example. And then our United States Navy has used so many of our ship-to-air missiles to shoot down drones in the Middle East that now the USA is running dangerously low on those missiles. And it has been estimated by the Congressional Office that it will take 10 years or more to replenish the supply of missiles that we have used in the Middle East. Is our government being wise, or is our government being foolish as they are giving away our supplies? That's a part of what bureaucracy does. It makes a decision and justifies it. And that is going on all over our government, from federal government to state government. There are people who represent the citizens that are not doing a good job of stewarding our wealth and resources. For instance, we have allowed our California state government to be so concerned about pollution that they have a Air Resources Board that California has a special blend of gasoline that changes for the summer and the winter, and every change costs a little bit to do. And now our gas prices are, well, it is said that they are up to $4.50 a gallon. And now the Air Resources CARB Board has said that with the changes that are going on, well, the changes that are going on are that the refineries are unhappy with the requirements that are put on them. And now Phillips Petroleum has announced that they will be leaving California next year. They are not going to refine gasoline in California anymore because of the regulations that our government, through the CARB Air Resources Board, has put upon them. And a part of that is the governor's office. So now California regulators have imposed so many restrictions on the Phillips Petroleum refinery that they are going to shut down next year. And now guess what that's going to cost the consumer? It has been estimated that there would be shortages of gasoline for California users, and that would increase the price by about $3 a gallon. Next year, our gasoline could go up to $8 a gallon. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Well, that's the price of having authorities that do what they believe is right. And these authorities are assigned. They're nominated by the governor. They are not voted on, and yet they have a big, big decision as to what affects the California citizens. Doesn't sound too good having $8 a gallon gasoline, does it? When you look at the rest of the country, the gasoline in most of the country is about half of what it is in California right now. And if you think about adding another three or maybe more dollars per gallon because of the refinery problems, it's a lot of money. And that is what the bureaucrats are doing to the citizens. They are deciding what is the best for us. Not going to be easy. And perhaps each one of us need to have an attitude of having our own supply of needs met from what we have, for the just in case. After all, if we don't have what we need, especially just the basic needs like food and clothing, why, then it can cost whatever anybody says. I know we can't refine our gasoline. We can't have our supplies of gasoline, but there are a few things we can do because we're going to need to eat and to have the certain supplies that we have. That's necessary. And every one of us can have a supply of what is necessary, and that includes money. We need to have a savings so that we can draw from our savings to buy the things that we need in case the prices go up. And we are having inflation. We are having increased costs of everything that the government is involved with. We do have a lesson from what the churches can show us about operating with love for our neighbors, and to do it responsibly for the people in the church and for the community. And that's just a very human thing to do for all of us. And we can look at history and see what happens when government is in charge of what the people need. Well, then we find out that government does whatever they want. And it seems like with the people who have a form of corruption in government, they make it so that they benefit from whatever it is that they are advocating, and that includes the people in our federal government and federal Congress. There are many people who do things that, if we knew the details, they come out from time to time and we say, "What are our representatives doing?" Well, that's how we need to keep people accountable, whether it's local, state, or federal government. Well, Americans are strong and free, but not really, because we are told what to do by so many elements within our government. We see the patterns that have gone on for, well, years and years, hundreds of years, thousands of years. Sure, we see what happens when we put our responsibility into the hands of other people. And I think of King Saul in the Old Testament. The people of the Hebrews, they wanted a king over them like every other nation. That's what it says in 1 Samuel. And then there again in 1 Samuel 8:11, it says that the people wanted a king over them just like the other countries and nations had. So Saul was made king over them, and the prophet warned that to have a king over them, they would have their daughters work in the king's house, and their sons would go into the king's army. Now, we see that happen today. We see that happening all over the world. And do we want a king over us, or are we going to be free people like God has intended us to be. I mean, read the Bible. You can see it. God wants his people to be free. And I don't think there's really much debating that. But if you do, then look at both sides of the argument. Because the decisions and the processes that go on in the Bible are intended for a free people. And yet, there is an avenue for a person to become either bondservant or a slave. That's in Deuteronomy 15:17, where a person can choose to become a slave forever if they find that they like their master and the master treats them well. That happened in the case of Abraham. That was in that Deuteronomy 15, where Abraham was instructed to put an awl through the earlobe of a servant that wanted to be bonded like a slave to a good master. So I just think it's really funny how so many people today have their ears pierced. And that was a way of saying that a person would be a slave in the Old Testament. So, do you think that spiritual people know that? Do you think that the devil knows that this is a pattern? Well, of course you do. And I know that I have said this in the past about what it means to have your ears pierced. And I have a whole lot of people who just will have nothing to do with that concept. They say, it's just for us. Well, I guess we all get to make that decision. And sometimes we do it in ignorance. Perhaps always. But there still is a spiritual path or trail that goes on to everything we do. And we can wonder about what the spiritual meaning of anything is. But there is a spiritual truth. Now, maybe you don't know what it is, and maybe I don't know what it is. But we can look on the surface and see what is just plain a little bit obvious. And that's what I was trying to do. We want to stay away from anything that is to do with slavery or anything that is evil. Stay away from it. And we want to be holy as God would have us to be. Now, how do we do that? Everybody has a different idea about what the Bible says. But how can you have a different idea when the Bible says things clearly? It's just that we have things that we think are right or wrong. And let us not have so much pride to think that we know better than what the Bible says. Well, we're all going to do it a little different. And so I just say, look out, watch out, because you still are following a pattern that might mean something that you do not intend. So how are we going to submit to what is God's rules, God's laws? How are we going to submit to God? Well, it could be by knowing what the Bible says. That's a really good start. But so many of us don't even read the Bible. We don't believe what the Bible says because we want to be true about what we want. Like saying that I just pierced my ears because I want them to look pretty. Well, that's okay, but you have to realize that there can be a spiritual consequence that you are not understanding at the time. And we all have some little problems like that. And sometimes we have to renounce the evil or the mistakes that we have done. And sometimes there are little mistakes and sometimes there are great big ones like, I don't know, it could be anything to supporting an ungodly cause. Sometimes we might do that and it might be an accident or it might be because we think it was a good idea at the time. Anyway, there are all these things that go on, and we have to just realize that we are going to be faithful to God as best we know how. And that means we don't make things up of our own thinking. We read the Bible, understand its truth, and then follow it. I know that there's so many people in the United States who have done everything, all sorts of wrong things that are ungodly. And if we realize that it is ungodly, we need to repent and pray for forgiveness and pray that any evil practices stop. I know I think of the evil that goes on with the exploitation of children or women or men. All sorts of exploitation goes on around us. I think of that movie, The Sound of Freedom, that talked about mostly children being exploited in every way. And now, well, I heard the I think you would call him a creator of that movie, or a director or something of the movie Sound of Freedom. And he was testifying to Congress that there are 200,000 to 300,000 children that came across our southern border and disappeared into the government system. And he says, we need to find those children and make sure that they are not being abused. Well, that's a part of what we want to stand for in righteousness. And so it is important that we do not abuse the innocent. And so that is something that we can do as we follow God's holiness and be aware of how we can stop the evil that is going on. We do not want our government to make moral decisions for us, whether it is taking care of all those children or having money go to certain causes or certain countries. We have to take an active part in our government so that we have some control of what is going on with the money that we pay to our government. Yes, in taxes, personal taxes and business taxes, there are a lot of businesses that pay money, and then somebody gets to decide where that money goes. Oh, let it be for good and godly, decent purposes. Lord, help us to understand this so that we can influence our government to be good and holy. In Jesus' name and amen. Yes, of course, we want this very much. So I think about what is going on around us, and is our government doing a good job or are they doing a bad job? And what is government anyway? What are they supposed to be about? And that's something which we all have to pay a lot of attention to so that our government does not do silly or evil things. Oh, and that reminds me of the devil talking to Jesus in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Oh, it's also in Luke. Chapter 4, verse 6 there, where the devil takes Jesus to a pinnacle on the temple and looks over the land, and he says to Jesus, I will give you these empires if you will bow down and worship me. That's what he says to Jesus. And then he says to Jesus, are they not mine to give? So this is something that we have to be aware of, that the governments are not good. If they belong to the devil, they are not good. the empires, the governments, if they belong to Satan, there's trouble all over, and we have to govern them through God's righteousness. And that means we have to know what God says. So read your Bible and remember it and act as though you are responsible to God for doing God's will on earth. Often we have things take over, whether it's a program or even a government or something else. And we can see that there's reasons to do what the government says, but we have to make sure that what we are doing is following God first. That's one of the mistakes that people have made in the past when they cite Romans chapter 13:1, about the people are to obey the government because the governments have been put in place by God. That's the argument. And so we have to make sure that whatever the government is doing falls in line with our obedience to government and God. God first, and then the government. That's the priority for every Christian and every moral person to have, to obey God's laws first. Because each one of us is responsible to God. And if we disobey the rules of God, we will have a consequences or a price to pay for our disobedience. So we have to certainly be aware of the evil power in government. And this has been written about by many people over the ages. Recently, there's a book and articles about the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. Yes, it's a book by Matthew Treewell. And it's a discussion on the proper obedience to government, about what is proper to either give to government or what is a proper way to resist tyranny. Well, it's this topic of discussion, and if we have never looked at it, we certainly don't know as well how to respond to the evil within a government or the tyranny within a government. I think back to World War II, when the German government required citizens to obey the government, and they used Romans chapter 13 to demand that all the German citizens would obey the government, and that included to kill the Jews. Now, the Jews were sent to concentration camps or they would be killed, death camps. And this immoral behavior inspired the Hague Convention to establish individual responsibility, stating that an individual, either a regular person, citizen, or a soldier, must follow human morality before they followed any orders that the military or the government would give them. That has been a rule ever since that time. I think it was 1943 or 1944. So all people are called on to obey the moral government, and that basis is in the Bible by us obeying God's laws. And don't think that it's only from that 60, 70 years ago. No, we have these things happening even in these days where we need to obey the moral and just laws of God. In that country, Germany, 10 years ago, there were laws that said that if a person was going to be on welfare in that country, they had to accept any job offer that was available. And it was a matter of discussion or legal case was brought about that the women who had no jobs were called upon to work in a house of prostitution. And the government said they had to take the jobs. Well, the morality factor got involved, and it became an issue in that society. So the issues of following morality first stays with us today, even long after World War II. And it's a matter of what are we going to do and follow? Well, let us follow the Bible and obey God. There have always been good consequences and bad for following the laws of God. The people who were faithful and obeyed God's laws were rewarded. And I think of those midwives, Shipra and Puah, in ancient Egypt. They obeyed God and did not kill the infant boys in ancient Egypt. That was Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. So there are things that have gone on since long, long ago, and they continue to go on today. And it's a matter of us understanding what God either likes or commands, and that's something we want to be careful to be obedient to God. There's been lots of laws where people have been disobedient to, both civil law and biblical law. And then in the biblical law, we could see that people had consequences for disobedience, like Dathan and Abin, or Nadab and Abijah. That was in Leviticus, where they did what they wanted and did not obey God, and they, in one case, were swallowed up by the earth, and in another case, they were struck dead by God. So there are consequences to being obedient to God or disobedient to God. And if you know what those things are, then, well, God bless you. It's something that we do to seek to please God. And just like in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, God tells us what his will is and how we can stay out of the lake of fire, which would be hell. How do we stay out of hell? Well, we follow God's laws. And God says, don't murder, don't be a whoremonger, don't be a sorcerer or an idolater, and don't be a liar. So these things, if we disobey God's will put us into the lake of fire. And there is punishment, and the Bible talks about it just plenty. So we want to choose to obey God and live a holy life. And I've certainly heard people preach, I'm talking about pastors who are a little bit odd. They don't follow the mainline Christianity, and they have some beliefs that are not exactly biblical. So we have to know the Bible for ourselves and follow the Bible. That is what we want to do. Know the Bible yourself. Read it, study it, memorize the parts, and understand what God likes and what he does not like, and then you will learn how to please God by how you live. And that's a part of what we do. We please God by how we live so that we have good consequences in our life and not bad ones. If we are practicing how to live in a way that pleases God, it will be so easy when we get to heaven. And if we live a life that does not please God because we're doing what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do, that puts us into that other lake of fire. So you know that it's God that makes the decision, not me. But the Bible does talk about all these things, And the Bible talks about what goes on in the earth. And we get to know, it's just plain obvious that there are people who follow the evil spirits of the world. I think there's an author, Russ Dizdar, and he wrote about these things in The Black Awakening, how there are so many millions of people, yes, even in the United States, who are following the dark energies of Satan, and they are waiting to rebel against the order of humanity, the order of God, and they are waiting for a signal for them to attack all the good things of our world, of our society, and the people in it. We have a great big spiritual battle going on between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And that goes and extends to the wars that are going on around us. It extends to the battle for having flus and viruses going on, or even vaccinations going on. And what are they really? Are they really a good thing for us? I guess that's something we all better study to find out what is good for us and what is not. Because we read in the Bible in Revelation 9:18 that a third of the world's population is going to die. And we don't know why. Will it be from an epidemic? Will it be from famine? And those things are already quite likely that will be a cause of death. And we don't know what else it could be. Could it be the vaccinations? Sure, it could be. But really and truly, we don't know. So we want to have our prayer life with God help us, guide us, and direct us as we choose to follow Jesus Christ through all of life. And then we choose to follow Jesus completely in the afterlife. And if we go our own way, it means we're not going to heaven, don't you think? Well, that's something which we all get to seek and understand and have our place of obedience to God so that we go to that heavenly place and not to a place of trouble. So, again, that's for each of us to study and to understand so that we can follow Christ Jesus. And another part of it is we want to bring Christ to people and bring people to Christ. That's the part of what we do. And the Bible tells us to do that. It tells that. Oh, Mark. Oh, boy. I can't remember the passage there. But it tells for the disciples to go do that and to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are seeking to obey God and get this into our spirit so that we obey God in this life and in the next. And that is a part of what we do when we search out the understanding of God. And we search out the will of God, and then we do the will of God. And that is preparing us for an eternity in that heavenly place. God does tell us about what is coming in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, that there will be wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, all over the place. And so, you want to be spared from those troubles and trials? Yes. Then let us be focused on God's kingdom and being obedient to God. And we want our life to reflect that. And that way, the troubling events that are going to go on will not be so much in our life. Now, we do hear that there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be war and famine and shortages of all sorts of things. As there are wars and war efforts with bullets and bombs and everything else going around in this world. So let us let us stay faithful to God through Jesus Christ. And there are going to be wars that are kinetic wars. There are going to be wars that are going to be spiritual wars. And somehow we want to stand with God and be faithful in what he calls us to do. And the best way to know how to be faithful is to study God's Word, the Bible. One day we might want to have a few Bibles extra to give out to people who want to get to know God better. And we can always read the Bibles too. It's good for us. So let's have the Bibles and the hymnals along with some of our extra food and supplies that shows compassion for people that need it. So that's a part of what we do too. We show our love and compassion for other people by helping them out. It'll be in many ways. It doesn't mean food and water necessarily, but it sure could be. It could be socks and shoes. It could be a compassion and caring and telling them about the good news of the Bible. All sorts of things that we will do in times of difficulty. And that's a part of why our preparations are so important, so that we can give people what they need in the way of food or medicine or medical help or whatever it is. All sorts of things that will be manufactured may very well be in short supply, just like they are right now, how we're having trouble getting car parts and getting medicines and getting things that are made around the world, and they're just not being shipped to America like they used to be. That's a part of the shortages that are going to happen in America, and we can do something about them by having a little bit of a stockpile for the just in case. We are full of things that are going around in the world, and we want to stay healthy and have our children healthy. And, that reminds me of the vaccines. So, then the vaccines. In 1960, a child would receive about 31 doses of vaccines. And today, it is 72 doses of vaccines. So, we wonder about why there is a certain chronic disease in children. We wonder about why there is autism in so many people. We wonder about why there is obesity in 1 out of 3 children. All these things are going on, and we don't know why. And our guess about that autism, in 1960, there was 1 in 1,000 who was autistic. And today, it is 23 out of 1,000 are autistic. So what has changed between 1960 and today? Of course, one of the things is the vaccines, another is the food, another is the requirements that the children have to do. And which ones would be more likely to affect the nervous and brain system? It's something that we better study. And maybe we're going to ask the doctors or even the Google to try to understand what's going on. Are we going to search out what the spike proteins are doing to the body, the spike proteins from the COVID-19 vaccination? That is apparently circulating in people today and is settling into their... Well, it depends on who you listen to. Some of it is settling in their brains, and some people say it'll settle in their reproductive systems, and it'll cause problems. Now, Americans were required, in many cases, to take that COVID-19 vaccine. And wasn't it interesting that the people who were migrating to the United States, either legally or illegally, often did not have to take the vaccine? So it's a matter of what could there be a suspicious reason for that? Is it because Americans have a certain attitude and it's easier to govern people without that American independent attitude? It's a question. It's a question we all can ask, and we can search out what the nature of things brings along. And I'm thinking that there was also an investigative reporter, J.J. Carroll, and he talks about the problems on our southern border, about migrants coming into the not just California, all the country. And he brings up that why are there detention systems being built in every state of the union? Who are the detention systems for if the detention systems are not used? This is massive detention systems. And he cites Christy Hutcherson, who worked for a company that made bids on the federal projects to build these detention systems. So she knows about them being built in every state of the United States. And so that was what her testimony was about. We have things going on, and we don't want to be caught up in difficult times. And do we even know what the difficult times are? No, but we sure have ideas as countries are preparing for war and for controls on the citizens. In every country, there are plans for drafting the citizens, both male and female in some of the countries. So it's something that is going on. It is a real issue right now, as there are struggles to stay pure in our mind and our body, pure for Jesus Christ. And that means we want to follow Jesus completely. Maintain our spiritual purity, which includes keeping our body and our mind pure also. We all have world situations that are going on around us, and we get to seek out how to understand them and how to deal with them. We hear of things going on in the news about everything, about the hurricanes being man-caused. We don't believe it, do we? No, it's too bizarre. How can a hurricane be caused by man? Well, they say that there are frequencies being put into the atmosphere which directs the hurricanes. And yeah, we don't believe it because it's never been done before. We're not doing it. So who is? And could it really be true? Well, there's so much that we don't know about. What do you think the secret parts of our government are secret for? It's so that we don't know what is going on. And yet we do know that there are conflicts all over the earth and the government doing things to other peoples in other countries. That's something that's going on everywhere. And there are problems with the financial situation all over the world also. Why are people having such a struggle? Part of it is inflation, and part of it is a lack of products and what we need to live. Now, we do know that people live and die. And that's just plain life. And it's also just plain Bible. It happens. So what we want to do is live according to God's Holy Spirit. And then we pray that we are sealed in the Spirit of God with our born-again life. Now God calls on his apostles to preach the good news of the gospel. And that's a part of what we can do too, preach the good news of the gospel. And we can support ministries and missionaries who do preach the good news of the gospel to the world and to the United States today. We want to be in the grace of God as we go through life, as we live faithfully to God. There are many things around us, and we want to know what the truth is, and we want to know love, the love of God, and how we love one another. That is a part of what we do. That is a part of what we go through in life. As we live, we want to show our love. We want to have compassion for people. And that's a part of the love of God that he gives to us. And then we know how to give it to other people as well. That's a part of that Matthew 22:38, where we love God and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we ask for God's help with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to do this. I always want to thank you for listening. And if you would like to listen again, please go to www.christtoday.org and look for the heading under John Stephenson, because there's several Christ Todays. And if you would like the emergency pamphlet, preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California. And of course, if there are donations to keep the broadcast on the air, that is very wonderful. God bless you. And live a godly life. Be holy, for God is holy. God bless you.